We're here to celebrate and talk about Easter. And so I'd wonder today, how would you, if you were to explain the Easter story, how would you explain it? Well, I like the explanation that I came across this past week that was shared by a friend of mine who works in education. And she shared, she was at school, how she happened to be at just the right place at the right time. And she walked by and she heard this rather squirrely first grade boy telling another first grader his version of the Easter story. And here's what his version, this little first grader. Jesus came, then he died, then he came back. Then he went to hang out with his dad. I thought, that's not too far from a great telling of the Easter story. Now, since we're talking about, mentioned going to hang out with dad, I'm just curious this morning, who's looking forward here to going to heaven? Anybody here looking forward to going to heaven? I can't imagine that all of us wouldn't be excited to look forward to going to heaven. Now, the next question is, who's ready to go right now? If we had a bus outside and we said we're taking up a load right now, who would really want to go? We might have a few people back out at that point. The challenge with going to heaven is that there is a transition between this life and the next that most of us would rather avoid if at all possible. And what is that transition? It's death. It's called death. And here's what I've discovered is interesting as I work with people. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, you hardly meet anybody who doesn't want to go to heaven. The challenge is, but nobody wants to die. And honestly, that's how we're going to see is what has to happen for us to get there. Now, some children were asked to write some sentences about what they believed or how they perceived death. And Gilda, who's age 8, said, "When you die, they put you in a box and bury you in the ground because you don't look too good," which is probably true. Stephanie, who's age 9, says, "Doctors help you so that you won't die until you pay their bill." Which is probably how it feels sometimes. And then Marcia, who's age 9, Marcia said, "When you die, you don't have to do homework in heaven unless your teacher is there also." Probably some students going to be praying about their teachers here just a little bit. But you know, death really is something that we don't like to talk about. We don't even like to think about it sometimes because as Ben Hayden so aptly describes, we hate death. We fear death. We'll do anything, pay anything, just to postpone death, even a few hours. And folks, I want to remind you today, that's not happenstance. I would believe that all of us are concerned about death for some very right reasons. We have some good reasons why we're concerned about death. And one of those reasons that you're probably concerned about death is because you'd like some more time on this earth. I mean, you kind of like being here. You got some good things going, some family. And we know that death means that our time on this earth is over. Now, honestly, most of us are probably hoping to make it at least to what life expectancy would be. The challenge with that is that sometimes is a moving target. What's interesting is in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, verse 10, God gave us a little bit of some guidelines there. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Now, the reason you'd probably like some more time on earth is honestly because the Bible says that everything that God created on this earth was created for your enjoyment. And God did an amazing job giving us some amazing things. For example, it was God who is the one who created the taste of hot cinnamon rolls. God created not the roll, but the taste. It was God who also created the taste of Freddy's Turtle Sundays. I'm just saying, if you haven't had one of those yet, they are almost to die for. It was God who created sunsets and sunrises and offers us to them free on a number of different days. He's also the one who created those rainbows. And as we move into spring and summer, we're going to have an opportunity to see a lot more of them. It was God who created the mountains and the majesty of those mountains. And if that wasn't enough, he also came up with this thing called snow so that skiers could ski on it and lots of other really amazing things. And God also created the people that we love and the places that we enjoy. And so as challenging as life sometimes can be, there are also so many things that God created for us that really makes us long to be here longer. Now, there's another reason why you're probably concerned about death, and that's because you've not seen what's on the other side. You haven't really had a chance to see that yet. We don't get to glimpse. In the Bible, we are given some pictures, but they're really just brief glimpses of what awaits us on the other side. Now, over the years, there have been a number of people who have claimed a life after death or a near-death experience, and many of them have written books about those experiences. One of those is called 90 Minutes in Heaven, 90 Minutes, A True Story of Death and Life by Don Piper. Now, just so you know, and to give the other side equal time, a guy by the name of Bill Weiss wrote a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. And I'm sure he's probably glad he didn't have to spend 90 minutes there like Don got to spend in heaven. But follow me through, if you would, on this logic. If God is the one who created this incredible earth, I mean, look what's on this earth. There are a million different colors and hues of them that we get to see with our eyes, and a million different sounds that we get to enjoy and listen to. And God created so many things on this earth that we can hear and smell and touch and taste on earth. And if you remember, it's God who's the one who's also designing heaven. So do not think for a moment that heaven's going to be this place where we simply float around on fluffy clouds all day. Not on your life. The Bible says that we cannot even imagine how amazing heaven is going to be. In spite of how good we think the earth is sometimes, there's a commercial that was on a while back on TV, and there's these guys, and they're sitting around a campfire, and they're drinking beer, and they're saying, it doesn't get any better than this. And I'm like, not, it does get better than this. There's something a whole lot better that's coming up than this earth. And it's going to be so amazing that you and I can't even begin to imagine it. I think that's what Paul had in mind when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Not to mention that heaven is also going to be a place with no pain. Going to miss that? No sorrow, no suffering, no COVID. And I love this one, no mosquitoes. Can I get an amen? No mosquitoes. I won't miss those at all. You know, there's another reason why you might be also concerned about death. There's a cemetery in Indiana with a tombstone that has an inscription on it that reads like this. Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. That guy had a little bit of fun with his inscription, didn't he? Well, an unknown passerby read those words and decided he was going to scratch beneath them this. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. I think that's somebody who's pretty smart. Which brings us really to the third reason why you might be just a little bit concerned about death. And that is because you've heard that there's an extremely undesirable option. There's an extremely undesirable option. I don't believe in trying to scare the hell out of anybody. But let me just say that hell is not an option that you would ever even want to be a possibility at all. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, God is going to punish those who do not know him and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. See, the Bible, we have to recognize, the Bible says that heaven is a real place, and it describes it as a place where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the pain and darkness and flames and burning and torment and everlasting punishment. What do you believe about that? Well, some years ago, Newsweek published an article called Heaven and Hell, An Eternal Search for Meaning. And they did this survey, and in the survey, they found that 77% of Americans believe that there is a heaven. And 60 or 76% of them believed that they had a good to excellent chance of going to heaven. But you know, when it came to hell, only 58% said they actually believed in literal hell, and only 6% thought that they had a good to excellent chance of going there. Well, we don't know what the number is, but I want you to notice what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Well, there's a fourth reason why you might be concerned about death. And you might be concerned about death because actually the only way to know what death is like is to experience it. You can't have somebody tell you what it's like because they're gone. You actually have to experience it. Now, for many years, I have claimed that our oldest son had an undiagnosed birth defect. An undiagnosed birth defect. And this undiagnosed birth defect, I felt, was that when he was born, rather than his taste buds forming in his mouth, they actually formed in his eyes. And I say that because he could look at food that he had never experienced before. It had never been in his mouth, and he would say, "That's yucky." You just looked at it. You didn't experience it at all. What I think he was dealing with is a little bit of the fear of the unknown. He looked at the food, hadn't tasted it, he didn't know what it was like. And folks, when we talk about death, that's our struggle. Death represents a very real fear of the unknown. But that's exactly what makes the resurrection of Christ such a watershed, important event. And it's why we celebrate it every year the way we do. Now, I have some good news today, and then I have what I would consider some bad news, or what could be considered some bad news. And I'm going to deliver what could be considered the bad news first, and then try to explain why, because of Easter, it's really not that bad of news. So you ready? Here's some very sobering news on this Easter weekend. Folks, most of us, if not all of us, will not make it to heaven alive. We're not going to make it to heaven alive, and I'll be clear about that in just a moment. One of the things that I frequently like to remind our church family is that the death rate in El Paso County remains right at 100%. And so it can kind of feel like a death trap. But while it might be an inescapable reality for us, the way to escape its finality is to understand that it's not a trap at all. That's what Easter revealed to us. Now, in just a little bit, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So you have your Bibles, and you want to turn there to follow along, or you're on your device. But before we go there, I would just want to say, since it's Easter Sunday, if you could take just a few moments sometime today to get alone with God and your Bible and read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. It's something you got to hear on Easter Sunday. But we're going to take a look at just the last 8 verses. So starting with verse 50, here's what it says. "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." Now, I got to pause for a moment just when we say that last two phrases there, because I think it's interesting. Children's pastors across this country have kind of hijacked those two phrases, and they'll put them up in their nursery areas. They'll say, "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." And oftentimes, that's exactly what happens in the nursery. But it says there, that's going to happen in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we, if we're still here, will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what the Apostle Paul was trying to get us to understand there is that whether we would like it or not, death is the transition into eternity. See, the finish line in this life is death. But what Paul wants us to recognize is it's only the finish line in this life. And it actually has to happen for us to make that transition. Because in verse 50, he says, flesh and blood, our physical bodies, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so we've got to put off our bodies. But that's not the end of us. It's not. And once you truly believe that, I'll guarantee you death loses its sting. And I only say that because I watched it happen. Paula Erickson, who is Pastor Erickson's wife, her sister Patrice, for the last 2 years has been struggling with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a terrible, horrible disease. And just a little over a week ago, she actually graduated and went to heaven. But before she died, Jordan, Patrice's oldest daughter, wrote this about her mom on her caring page website. And she wrote this: my mom is ready to meet Jesus. Her faith has been radiant through all this ALS journey. She has no fear in death. And she's told us there are worse things than dying. Her hope is in heaven. She is at peace. How does somebody go through an experience like that and be at peace? Well, it's because they recognize Jesus has conquered death and they take Jesus at his word when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And see, what we've got to recognize is, folks, it's only in death that we gain victory over death. That's why if you're wondering, when's the victory come? It's only in death that we gain victory over death. Notice what it says in verse 54. It says, when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Please notice those two words, when and then. When this happens, then that happens. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, then death is truly swallowed up in victory. And so the challenge, while we still live on this earth, what that means is Christ followers are Easter people, but we live in a Good Friday world. We're Easter people. Because we know death doesn't really mean anything, but we still live in a Good Friday world where it looks like when somebody dies, they're gone. Because Jesus removed the sting. There's a little boy and his father who were driving on a country road. It was a beautiful spring afternoon, so they had the windows down in the car. Suddenly, this bumblebee flew in the window. And since the little boy was deathly allergic to bee stings, he was terrified. But the father quickly reached out and grabbed the bee in his hand, and he held it there in his hand for a little bit. But then after a few moments, he released it, still live, and he let it go. And as it flew by his son, he saw the panic-stricken look on his son's face. And so he held out his hand again, but this time to let his son see the bee's stinger in his palm. And he said to him, do you see this, son? You don't need to be afraid anymore. I took the sting for you. That's what Jesus did for us. He took the sting for us. So Paul says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That's the message of Easter. It's why you and I don't need to be afraid of death ever again. Christ took the sting of death on the cross when he died, and then he conquered the grave, demonstrating his victory over the death, and now he extends that victory to every one of his followers. That's what it said in verse 57, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are Easter people, but we live in a Good Friday world. And I want to give you a very real example of what I think that victory looks like in everyday life. Darren Bryce is a member of our church, and he likes to go out and take early morning walks, and often when he does, he'll frequently record some of the reflections about God and life that he's having. He'll record them on his phone. In this past week, this is what he recorded.
You know, you live a life and you face a lot of struggles, or you have so many blessings and so many great times. And then you kind of get to a point where something happens. And this is where your faith becomes real or not. I like to call it where the rubber hits the road. You've heard that before. That means where the real contact is going on. So, you know, my wife has breast cancer, metastatic, and we just got doctor's news yesterday that, you know, we're down on the last line of defense. I may not have a whole lot of time left with my beautiful, wonderful wife. That sucks. It's the worst thing in the world. But you know what? Where the rubber hits the road, every one of us is going to die. You know what? As far as I know, and our pastor says this, that the death rate in El Paso County is still 100%. So this is something every one of us gets to face, right? Where are you? Where are you? Do you understand that the God of the Bible, that Jesus, that we're celebrating his resurrection this Sunday, gives us the only hope that matters? He gives us an eternity. Boy, but you got to ask him into your life. If you don't do that and follow him, and you don't do it the right way with biblical truth, not some made-up, fictitious, self-created God or doctrine, you got to accept him, because we're all going to die. And I want to see all of you in heaven. That's for sure. But you know what? There is a narrow pathway, and you got to make a decision. Make the right decision. So many of you are smart. Get into Scripture. Get into relationship with Christ. Find that right answer. The only way I can face this journey is to know that I get to meet up with my wife again. But it's going to be a lot better place. No sickness, no crying, no misery. Just awesome purpose in God.
Make the right choice. Years ago, Charles Murray, who was a student at the University of Cincinnati, was preparing for the Summer Olympics as a diver. And because Charlie didn't grow up in a religious family and never went to church, he met some of the Christians that were at college, and they started talking to him about how much God cared about him and how God wanted to have a relationship with him. He was really pretty skeptical. But it piqued his interest. And so over the semester, he talked to these Christian friends about God's love and God's plan and God's rescue and how much he mattered to God. Well, one night he decided to call one of his Christian friends, and he asked him, he said, "Hey, tell me again those verses in the Bible that say God cares about me." And so his friend shared those verses. But because he was preparing for the Olympics, he's had special privileges, and he could actually use the pool at the university even when it was closed. And so after he hung up the phone that night, he decided to go to the pool and practice his diving. It was an indoor pool, and the lights were off because it was closed, but it had this glass ceiling on the top, and there was a full moon that night, and so he could at least see his way to get in. Well, he climbed up to the top of the diving platform, and he turned around to do his first backwards dive, and when he did, he stretched out his arms like this to prepare. And as he did that, moonlight coming through the glass ceiling projected his shadow onto the wall, and it formed the shape of a cross. And that night when Charlie looked at that, he for the first time, Charlie felt God's love. I mean, it seems like God kind of got through, and he realized that Christ died for him, and that demonstrated how much God really loved him. And in that moment, some 20 feet up on the diving platform, he sat down and he opened his life to God. He prayed and he said, "Jesus Christ, come into my life and make a difference in my life." And he decided to become a Christ follower right there 20 feet up. Well, about 5 minutes later, he was sitting there in the dark, and all of a sudden the janitor came in and flipped on the light, and it startled Charlie. But when he got up, he looked down at the pool and he saw that it had been emptied for repairs. That's how close he came. That encounter with God not only saved him for eternity, it saved him from a premature death. I tell that story tonight because none of us know exactly how much time we have on this earth. It could be taken, our life could be taken from us at a moment. And let me just remind you here today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not ready to jump into eternity. Because the things we're concerned about that, we need to be concerned. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to come, and we're going to close with a song. I would just, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, today, Easter Sunday, would be an awesome time to do that. And when we're done, I'll be down front. If you want to talk about it, we had a guy, Nick, who came after the last service and said, hey, I need to follow Christ. If that'd be you today, I'd be glad to talk to you or one of our staff. But make sure you've got that settled so that you don't have to fear death anymore. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday and that we get to come together today and celebrate the fact that the stone rolled away from the tomb and Jesus walked out alive, demonstrating his power and his victory over death. Because it's pretty likely that every one of us in here is going to come to a point in this life when we'll face death as well. Thank you. Thank you that because of Jesus, we don't have to fear that any longer. Thank you for this incredible earth that we get to live on and enjoy while we're here. Father, thank you even more for the hope of heaven and for what it offers to us because of Jesus. If someone's here today, Father, who's just on the fence, pray that you'd help nudge them over with your spirit to surrender their life and want to follow you. We ask and pray that in Jesus' name.